I'd like to remind folks that prior to offering public testimony, the City Council, a lobbyist must declare which lobbying entity they are authorized to represent. I'm going to begin with communications. Please read the first communications item.
Item 996, request of Mark White to address Council regarding further expansion of the Lentz Urban Renewal Area.
Please state your name when you speak, and you have 3 minutes, sir.
Good morning. My name is Mark White. I'm a resident of Palhurst-Gilbert neighborhood. Originally, I had planned on suggesting areas of further expansion for the Lentz URA further into Palhurst-Gilbert, but now feel that this would be extremely destructive for Palhurst-Gilbert. Even though Palhurst-Gilbert has more households than any other neighborhood in the city and is most likely the most populated, and even though we have no police precinct, no fire station, no hospital, no library, no community center, and no post office, in fact, there isn't even a single full-service bank within the neighborhood boundaries. And even though homes well under the affordability threshold aren't selling, businesses are fleeing, and we're a bit more than 11,000 below the citywide median family income, I still think it's a bad idea. Because once I reviewed the accomplishments of the Lentz URA and Palhurst-Gilbert, it became clear to me that there are no serious plans for applying the intended benefits of urban renewal to our neighborhood. Despite making up a quarter to one-third of the Lentz URA, we have yet to see a single job created. I also had my suspicions confirmed at the recent Lentz URAC meeting when one of the URAC members stated that one of the reasons for the recent expansion was because they were running out of money. This tells me that the monies generated from the recent boundary expansion will probably go towards unfinished planned projects and not for projects in the expansion areas. We're drowning, gentlemen, and from my perspective, the city, which has much power to address these issues through urban renewal, is choosing not to throw us a life preserver, but instead a straw with several splits and telling us to just suck it up. While it may not be the city's intentions through systemic neglect, a foundation is being laid for a gulag of socially engineered poverty and despair. So instead, I strongly encourage you to consider dividing the Lentz URA into two separate urban renewal areas. Since all areas currently within the boundaries of the Lentz URA have already gone through the public approval process, the time to create the second URA should be significantly reduced. I believe the best course would be to divide the Lentz URA at I-205 with everything east of I-205, including the freeway lands going to the newly created East Portland Urban Renewal Area. East Portland Urban Renewal Area would immediately begin on identified projects as well as identifying areas of expansion in order to utilize the 700 acres remaining for urban renewal as stated by the PDC in public testimony a few weeks ago. However, the expansion would not utilize current PDC strategy of blanketing a general geographic area, but instead focus on primarily on major transportation corridors with emphasis on those appropriate for transit-oriented mixed-use development. Possibly first focusing on a business district on Southeast 122nd with senior housing above, retail storefronts, perhaps anchored by an international deli and bakery cooperative that will provide several families representing the large numbers of immigrants to the area an opportunity to start their own business, but also create a model for diverse groups working together toward a common goal of success. Be happy to discuss this further, and especially happy to take you on a tour of the neighborhood to see the incredible potential up front. Thank you.
Thank you.
997, request of Malcolm Chaddock to address Council regarding sit-lay ordinance and homeless services. Malcolm Chaddock. 998, request of Ulisher Hartleman to address Council regarding public safety and the closure of Peterson's store.
Good morning. When you speak, please state your name for the record, and you have 3 minutes, sir.
Absolutely. Ulisher Hartleman is my name. Been residing here in Portland now going 5 years. Pretty town. I want to talk to you, if you don't mind me saying it that way, about Mr. Peterson's plight. So you should have copies. Please accept my apology for my somewhat difficult appearance. Moving right along due to the constraints of time, in this instant matter of Mr. Peterson's convenience store over on Morrison, that's on the Max track directly, please consider that this is not just a matter of a marvelously talented gentleman merchant. citizen of Portland, whose very ways are a great help to many, many others, many of whom are registered voters here in Portland. But this is a matter of public safety. After evening and otherwise, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, and all holidays too. Little medications, that aspirin you might need, throat lozenges, soda pop. He's ready for you, which is a great convenience downtown. There's nothing else down there. 11, 12:30, Safeway's closed. You're dead in the water. But anyway, the store provides much employment for many taxpayers, and as much and much more over credible emergency calls for help for people. Number one, there have been at least two heart attack victims, 911 calls can confirm that, who live because of Mr. Peterson's store has been open and they were able to call 911 and get help over there and save someone's life. Number two, taxi cab calls. If you're down there on that track and you call the taxi cab on a payphone or your cell phone, they will not come. But now Mr. Peterson's employees call them. They'll come get you, take you home. Get you out of the weather. And number three, they provide change for the MAX train. A person's got a bill over $5, the MAX machine will not operate with a bill that large. They're in the Petersons, just like they're getting ready to buy something, and they want change to ride that MAX so they can get home out of downtown, especially in downpour rain and cold weather. You could imagine what a convenience that is. And then you got a real situation that happens, like one night you got a young couple in from Colorado. Now, the girl's father was supposed to pick them up. He didn't get it done. They were stuck. Peterson's employee allowed them to crash out back by the magazine rack all night. Cold night, dark night, two young strangers. You imagine what a help that was to them and the idea they had of the kind of town Portland was. So, matter of fact, you might think about a little pay to Mr. Peterson, although I'm sure he'd probably decline it. But maybe, gentlemen, maybe you'd be so good as to grant a simple request. Stay in business and help keep downtown a bit more convenient and safe. Thanks a lot for your time and your trouble. Have a nice day. Hey, Mr. Adams.
$9.99, request of Jennifer Sunday to address council regarding shutting down Peterson's store.
Please state your name for the record, and you have 3 minutes.
My name is Jennifer Sunday, and I am a dedicated customer and volunteer of the Peterson store. I've done some careful research in which I have provided for you documents labeled by Mayor Tom Potter himself, indicating that crime rate has in fact gone down in Portland over the last year, and Peterson's store is in fact located in the area of Portland least involved of all accounts of crime. So I ask, what makes this store number one on your list right now of crime prevention when there are hundreds of other stores in the Portland area that are surrounded with far more crime than he? I have also provided picture proof of the changes it will make at night without the store there. It is a safe haven for girls such as I waiting for the MAX at night without the 24/7, 365 days a year security that Peterson provides. You are putting many innocent at risk. I also wish you had been there at the time the doors were closed, locked, and lights off temporarily for not more than 15 minutes. There had been an outcry of people saying, why is the store closed? I cannot believe it is closed. What is going on? I wish I had brought a tape recorder. Within that short time, so many were upset. Can you imagine if these doors were locked permanently? So now I ask, what exactly is it are you giving to the patrons of Peterson's by closing down this store? What is it you are getting out of this that makes the rest of Portland's crime rate ignorable? And why, when we have Portland's crime so high in other areas and the public at our back, does anything that we say and ask of you fall on deaf ears? Thank you.
Item 1000, request of Gino Helene to address council regarding employee appeal from Peterson Store.
Good morning. My name is Gino Helene.
Please have a seat. When you speak, state your name for the record, and then you have three.
Okay. My name is Gino Helene. Good morning, council members. I'm an employee of Mr. Doug Peterson, owner of Peterson's Convenience Stores. I'm going to bring up a short video of our 4th Street store and also a crime table. The 4th Street store shows the extensive remodeling that has gone on, so you can get an idea of Mr. Peterson's confidence in downtown. I can appreciate the parent strategy for crime prevention through environmental design that is currently underway in downtown Portland. Judging by the unfortunate amount of the homeless population in downtown Portland, it is somewhat apparent that the city is taking an ecological approach with an environmental context by designing out crime, as opposed to a compositional approach of targeting criminal behavior based on socio-demographic attributes. However, I must add that the terms set forth to Mr. Peterson by the City of Portland regarding his eviction had requested Peterson employees to take a compositional approach by targeting offenders based on their socio-demographic attributes, which they do to a certain degree. In other words, if it's obvious a customer is homeless, employees won't sell them beer. However, we would much rather take a proactive approach with the manipulation of physical and environmental characteristics for the mitigation of crime, but leasing on a month-to-month basis discourages my employer from investing his hard-earned money into this scenario. Council members, it is believed by some that Peterson's is the cause of all the riffraff at the Amhill Garage. Whether this is true or not, I guess depends on who you are. But one thing is for sure. If you board up Peterson's on Morrison and create an abandoned storefront, you will possibly lend a hand in creating an environment that will have more type 1 crimes as opposed to type 2 crimes. I want to quote a couple of different paragraphs from two different studies. This from Brannigham and Brannigham, 1993. Offenders want to avoid the risk of being seen while committing a crime. The possibility of surveillance by shop owners, managers, employees, guards, or caretakers has been found to have a strong effect in reducing crime. This from the UCLA School of Public Policy and Social Research. Placing a bus stop in front of surface parking lots, vacant buildings, or other dead spaces isolates people waiting for the bus. As our data showed, most serious crimes tend to occur at desolate settings with no activity. Proximity to active businesses with open storefronts enhances the visibility of the bus stop from the surrounding establishments and possibly its safety. Good bus stop sites ensure surveillance opportunities from surrounding businesses. Good lighting and appropriate shelter design that does not block views offers visibility from passing traffic and neighboring establishments, but also does not obstruct the view of those waiting inside. I would like to end with a quote from Bernard Harcourt, who is a Julius Krieger Professor of Law and Criminology at the University of Chicago Law School. It is, in effect, a type of aesthetic policing that fosters a sterile Disneyland consumerist commercial aesthetic. It reflects a desire to transform New York City into Singapore or worse, a shopping mall. The truth is, however, that when we lose the dirt, grit, and street life of major American cities, we may also threaten their vitality, creativity, and character. Thank you.
Is that all of the communications?
That's all.
Okay. We move to the consent agenda. Do any commissioners wish to pull any items from the consent agenda? Does a member of this audience wish to pull any items from the consent agenda? Please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read the 9:30 time certain.
Item 1001, adopt the City of Portland Sustainable Procurement Policy.
Good morning, Mayor Potter, members of City Council. I'm Jeff Baer, the Director of Bureau of Purchases, and also Susan Anderson from the Office of Sustainable Development is here. And I'm here this morning to make a few brief remarks and to seek your approval to adopt the City of Portland Sustainable Procurement Policy And by way of brief background, I just wanted to remember that we had back in March of 2002, we adopted and established the Sustainable Procurement Strategy, a joint City of Portland and Multnomah County effort, which was really a five-year action plan that we embarked on to incorporate sustainability concepts into our procurement decisions on a commodity-by-commodity approach. And the work of the strategy was really helpful because we looked at a variety of different commodities that included paper, office supplies, computers, surplus vehicles, and also fuel. And at the end of this five-year strategy, we convened the group back together to really look at incorporating and institutionalizing our sustainable procurement strategy into a binding policy. And the policy here related to the recommendations of that group were to develop the policy. Instead of relying on a commodity-by-commodity approach, we wanted to focus on integrating our sustainable procurement into existing procurement processes and to build upon the employee resources that we have available to us and provide a regular communication on the different environmentally preferable products that are out there, and especially as they emerge on the market, and to also continue to build a diverse stakeholder input and participation in our procurement decisions, and also to develop better reporting and tracking methods. So as a result, we formed a committee that included representatives from the Office of Sustainable Development, the Water Bureau, Parks, Fire, OM&F, and also our Bureau, that identified the types of resources that were needed to implement this policy. And also, we also had this policy reviewed by the Chief Administrative Officers Advisory Committee and also the Bureau Directors for soliciting their comments. So upon adoption, our Bureau will continue to develop these online tools and information, trainings, and research assistance. And also in conclusion, I just want to also set the stage to highlight what is going to be our upcoming sweatshop-free procurement policy that we've been working on for a number of months, and we're expecting to provide a policy recommendation in September of this year. And because the sweatshop-free policy is really part of the overall sustainability platform, which is, I believe it includes the social equity or social justice component, it's my recommendation that these policies will eventually fold together and be incorporated into the sustainable procurement policy. And I do want to thank Stacy Foreman from our office, especially on her leadership in coordinating this effort, but also to highlight the stakeholder work group members who included Michelle Krim from the Office of Sustainable Development, Craig Sauter from the Water Bureau, Kip Wadden from the Parks Bureau, Lisa Shaw from OMF, and also Kevin Chanders from the Fire Bureau. So I'll pause there and turn it over to Susan for a few comments.
Good morning. Susan Anderson, Director of the Office of Sustainable Development. I'm just here to show my support and really admiration for Jeff. Back in 2002 when he started and Sue Clobertan started this work, it was a time when OSD had been trying to kind of get things going in, you know, a dozen different bureaus, and they were the first one to really take what we had kind of started. They hired the person we had and basically made it their own, and we no longer had to work so hard in this area. So I think it's a really good example of how we've been able to work as a team with a lot of other bureaus. About a year and a half ago, City Council adopted what's called the Sustainable City Government Partnership. The goal of that was to kind of instill sustainability practices in the day-to-day operations of city bureaus and city departments. Each city bureau last fall adopted its own sustainability plan, and as a part of that plan, with the help of Jeff's office, they identified very specific resources and materials that they would be purchasing, from biofuels to more efficient computers, less toxic cleaners, recycled paper, and on and on. The policy before you today is really a shift. We're going away from identifying one by one products that we should be purchasing and putting a lot more of the accountability and responsibility back onto the bureaus. They will use least cost assessment principles and overall really take a hard look at everything that they're buying. This policy really takes common sense financial principles and merges them with a long-term concern for our environment and our local economy. It's important to remember that this policy doesn't stand alone. It's an integral piece of a growing puzzle where all of your bureaus are beginning to work much more together on promoting sustainability and sustainable practices throughout city government and throughout our community. And I look forward to continuing to work with Jeff to ensure the success of this effort. Thank you.
Questions from the commissioners? Thank you, folks.
you.
Did we have anybody sign up to testify?
No one signed up.
Is anyone here who wishes to testify to this specific issue? Please call the vote.
Fish? Leonard?
This is excellent work. Thanks, Jeff, very much. Appreciate that. Aye.
Saltzman?
Yeah, this is really good work, and I appreciate the initiative that Jeff has taken, as Susan Anderson said, to really run with this and make the job of the Sustainable Development Office easier to do because we're working together. Also want to recognize Stacey Foreman and Michelle Krim for all their hard work on this, too, as well. So good work. Aye.
Potter?
I'm very proud of the work that the city does, and a lot of it is due to the leadership but from OSD and from Jeff and others. So thank you all for what you do to help us save our resources. I vote aye. I think it's within the time zone to read the 10 a.m. time certain. Could you please read items 102 and 103 together, please?
Item 1002, appoint Shelley Romero to the Housing Authority of Portland Board of Commissioners, term to expire January 26, 2009. Item 1003, appoint James M. Smith to the Housing Authority of Portland Board of Commissioners, term to expire March 12, 2010.
These two resolutions will be introduced by Commissioner Fish and also the individuals who are up for appointment. Commissioner Fish.
Thank you, Mayor. I guess we're going to invite the distinguished chair of the Housing Authority Portland Board, Jeff Bachrach, and Shelley Marchese, Public Affairs Director, I misspoke. We're going to invite Mr. Smith, James Smith, to come to the podium with the distinguished chair of HAP.
Shelley, come up. That's okay, Mr. Fish.
Okay, and Shelley?
Thought we'd save you time if we all come up as a group.
This is not the first time we used to serve together on the board. He frequently overrode me, so I'm as the new chair, obviously.
I had to get him a new job. Thank you for taking him on.
Drunk with power. allow me... Allow me, colleagues, to make the introduction, if I could. I'm pleased to introduce to you Shelley Romero and James Smith, who are nominees of the Housing Authority of Portland Board of Directors. And I will tell you that as the former vice chair and commissioner of the Housing Authority of Portland, I take special pride in moving these nominations. Both of these individuals have shown a strong commitment to serving our community, and each brings a unique vision for their role and contribution as members of the HAP board. First, I'm pleased to introduce Shelley Romero, whom I have known for many years as the City of Portland's nominee to the HAP board. Shelley has extensive experience in housing and supportive services gained through her work in the public sector and in the nonprofit world. She's gained a unique perspective on the importance of housing as a direct service provider, working with low-income and homeless families as a program specialist at the Portland Housing Center, where she specialized in educating people about home ownership opportunities, and as the chief of staff to a Multnomah County commissioner, where she was involved in policy decisions on critical supportive services which keep people successfully housed. Shelley now serves on ODOT's government liaison for Region 1. She will bring her desire to work with underserved and minority communities to the HAP board, and I believe will be a great asset to the public housing community in the City of Portland. Next, I'm very pleased to introduce James Smith, Multnomah County Chair Ted Wheeler's nominee to the board of the Housing Authority of Portland. Mr. Smith brings a very strong business and consulting background to the HAP board. He is the CEO of Y Change International, a management consulting firm for small and mid-sized businesses. During his business travels, he, like many of us, fell in love with Portland and decided to relocate here. And we're fortunate that he has called Portland home these past 3 years. In a relatively short amount of time, he has demonstrated his leadership in advocating for small businesses, job creation, and economic development. As a volunteer, he provides business counseling and assistance to business owners in Portland. Mr. Smith is a member of the City of Portland Small Business Advisory Council, which is the city's advisory group on small business issues. And since 2007, he has served as the chair of the Portland chapter of SCORE, counselor to America's small business, an all-volunteer organization whose mission is to help small businesses and business entrepreneurs become successful. Mr. Smith's specific interest in joining the HAP board is to use his expertise to help our public housing residents gain economic independence by providing opportunities in small business. He wants to involve Portland's small business community in this effort, and I believe he has the knowledge and the commitment and the experience to be successful. As my colleagues know, the Housing Authority of Portland is a moving to work agency, which means it has the authority to design and to test innovative approaches to provide incentives for families to become economically self-sufficient. So I believe that Mr. Smith's skills will be uniquely helpful and valuable as a member of the HAP board. Welcome to both of you, and if you'd like to make a statement.
Thank you, Commissioner Fish and members of the council. I'd just like to take this opportunity to thank you very much for this appointment. I look very forward to serving with my esteemed colleagues. We had not as a voting member, but the first meeting of the HAP board yesterday, and I was already on the edge of my seat dying to ask questions. So I'm very excited to dig in and do the work. And thank you very much for this appointment. I also, since my parents are in the audience, like to say thanks to them for inspiring me to be involved in making this community and every community a better place. Thank you.
Could you introduce your parents, Shelley?
It would be my pleasure. The guy with the camera, Jose Romero. And Kathy Romero right here. Thank you.
I, too, am very honored to be a member of the team, and I just hope that, as Nick said, I can put my skills to work. Thank you very much for your vote of confidence in me, and I hope that it all comes together. I appreciate the opportunity.
Jeff, would you like to say something? And I have to publicly acknowledge I have a conflict of interest with Jeff. Our daughters are both U15 soccer players attending the same high school, and we often see each other at soccer events. But seriously, Jeff, as the I did not have the pleasure of serving with Jeff Bachrach as the chair. Howard Shapiro was the chair when I was on the board, but Jeff's doing a great job. And like all the volunteer members of the board, they put in an enormous amount of time and do great work, and it's one of the reasons we're a nationally recognized housing authority. And so, Jeff, I thank you for your service.
Commissioner Fish, thank you. I have nothing to add other than it's going to be wonderful having two strong new members on our board, and we have a lot on our plate, and being at full strength of the board is going to help us succeed in everything we're working on. So thank you very much, and though I always welcome the opportunity in front of this board and discuss housing, that's probably not what your agenda is today, so I'll leave it there, but thank you very much, and it will be great to have these two new commissioners. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Questions from the commissioners. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We look forward to your service, and
we look forward to your vote today to confirm them. Don't forget.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's next. Was there a sign-up sheet on this?
There was. No one signed up.
Is there anyone here who wishes to testify to these two candidates? Please call the vote.
Adams.
Well, thank you for your willingness to serve. I look forward to getting to know you better, Mr. Smith. And Shelley and I have hiked mountains together. We were part of the same American Leadership Forum class 13, which seems like a long time ago, but I can attest to her excellent leadership abilities, and congratulations to you both. Aye.
Fish.
As the newest member of this body and as the housing commissioner for the city of Portland, I want to welcome Shelley and Jim. We have a very full plate going into the fall. The housing agenda for the city is very ambitious, and the times are very perilous. And we're delighted to have people of your quality and your background and commitment on this board. And I can tell you, as a housing commissioner, I am really looking forward to working with you in your new capacities. And I'd like to acknowledge the good work of Mary Carroll and Jamal Folsom, who have helped me through this process, and I thank them, and I'm very proud to vote aye.
Well, thank you, Shelley and James, both for serving, and you're going to be outstanding members. I know that, so thank you very much. Aye.
Saltzman.
Thank you. We look forward to working with you. Aye.
Potter.
Shelley, it must be in the genes. It tends to run in your family, so congratulations to you and James as well to you. We wish you well and do good things for the people who need housing in the city of Portland. I vote aye. We're about 8 minutes before 10:15, so we'll have a short recess.
Wait,
until
10. We'll vote on 1003.
Oh, 1003.
Yeah, Mr. Smith.
You know, you're right.
Slight oversight.
Okay, let's call a vote on 1003.
Adams?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Thank you for keeping us honest.
You're welcome.
Have a 7-minute recess.